Well, it is good to be with you here this morning, as really today is kind of the beginning of the parish mission. The homily today, I kind of want to set the tone a little bit for what we're going to talk about in the upcoming days. A little bit about myself. I am from the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, and I've been a priest now for almost 5 years here this May. I am currently a parochial vicar, associate pastor at a parish with about 2,300 families in the Kansas City area, and I'm also a high school chaplain. So I've got lots of kids that I'm responsible for, as well as I am the scout chaplain for the Archdiocese. So I've been a scout for 26 years. I'm an Eagle Scout. I love the scouts. When I was in my previous parish in Topeka, some of my parishioners were involved in a new kind of scouting I hadn't heard of called Air Scouts. It's aviation exploring, and they take high school kids and teach them how to be pilots and learn about flying. And some of my parishioners invited me to get involved in that, and I had spent years growing up flying my computer with Microsoft Flight Simulator, and they said, well, let's do it for real. And so I got my pilot's license and got some advanced ratings about 3 years ago now. And so yesterday, I actually flew myself down here to Longview. Normally I can't do that because in the little plane, it gets kind of expensive, and it's normally cheaper just to fly commercial if you're going very far. But Dallas is way far away from here, and it would have been a long drive, and it actually worked out better that I just flew right down to East Texas Regional here and landed, and my Uncle Steve picked me up. And boy, I had a great tailwind all the way out of the north yesterday from Kansas that, I mean, it was like the Holy Spirit was just blowing me down here, saying, you got to get there. So I think that is a really good sign for our mission, that God blew me down here, almost like the Wizard of Oz, and here I am. Now, the Holy Spirit, however, by Wednesday morning when I go home, needs to have like a 180-degree kind of change of mind and blow me back to Kansas. Otherwise, it'll be really long to get home. But I am glad to finally be here. As Monsignor said, he had asked me before, and it just didn't work with my schedule, but I got it arranged this time. So I said, there are lots of people back in Kansas that are praying for you, and that's true. And I ask you to also pray for my parishioners back home, as they're no doubt terribly missing me this morning for me to be with you. Now, Monsignor had asked me for a theme for the mission this week. And I had thought and thought. I couldn't think of anything. And finally, I did what might seem perfectly obvious. I actually read the readings for today. And I got to this part in the gospel where it talks about this fig tree. And the thing that kept coming up in my mind with this parable that Jesus tells is that he's trying to tell us that there's a time limit that we have on being holy, on being a great saint, on accomplishing the things that we know we want to accomplish with God. We don't have forever. If we're going to bear fruit, which is what this parable is about, we don't have unlimited time. And so the theme I chose for the mission was time to bear fruit. In other words, now is the time to bear fruit, but God has given us time to bear fruit. I hope that over the course of these next couple days that we have together, that can kind of be our focus. All of us, no matter what state we're at right now, probably you're doing pretty good, but maybe God wants you to take the next step to bear more fruit. You look at this parable, and I admit that I am not good at growing things. If I tried to do what this gardener did, I would still kill a plant. But apparently, you guys that raise stuff and you grow stuff, you know, this gardener is pretty good. He says, now hold on, before you cut down the fig tree, maybe it's not the tree's fault. Maybe it just needs a little love. You know, maybe it needs a little extra attention. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to cultivate the ground, I'm going to fertilize around the tree, and then maybe it will bear fruit. I think that's one of the things that this mission is about. A chance that God is giving us to pay attention maybe a little bit more in a special way to the workings of God. Something, a gift that he wants to give us over these next couple days. But to do that, we've got to put in a little extra effort. That's really what Lent is all about. we're doing good things. I mean, you're here at Mass on Sunday morning. No doubt you're trying to live a good, holy life, and you probably are bearing some great fruit. But I don't know if you know about this. There's a fertilizer out there like called Miracle-Gro, and my grandma, she's great. She puts it on her plants, and pretty soon it's like, wow, what happened? The mission is meant to be kind of like Miracle-Gro for St. Matthew's Parish. And it's going to be God that does that, but we got to, in some way, open ourselves up to it, to cultivate our ground a little bit. That, you know, that means to loosen up the soil. Some of us, we can get kind of hard over time, and God keeps sending rain, but, you know, it just runs right off. This is a chance to cultivate a little bit. And I hope in some way that the mission will be like fertilizer. Now, understand, though, that if you go home and somebody asks you, well, how was the mission? How was the talk? This is Texas, so don't go home and say, well, it was fertilizer. There are a lot of cows running around and things, and that has different kind of connotations. But in some way, I hope that this is a little bit of fertilizer for your lives. So that's the first thing that I hope happens in the mission. The other great thing I see from our readings today, we've got Moses coming up over and over again in our first two readings. Now, I love this first reading. I humbly admit that although I went to seminary for 5 years, most of the important things I learned about the book of Exodus and Moses, I learned from the movie The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. It's a really great movie. I encourage you to watch it. But there's a part in there right where Moses is about to go encounter the burning bush that we have in our first reading today. And he and Joshua are kind of there. And then they're looking at the mountain of God. And Moses looks up and says, Joshua, what's that? And Joshua looks and, I don't know, a bush that burns maybe. And Moses is like, no, there's something more there. And then he says one of the most famous lines in all of Scripture. He says, I will see this great vision, why the bush is not burned. Moses has got this curiosity. He's already following God, but he wants to know why. I want to know more. And he's willing to go up the mountain to see what this burning bush is about. Now, I say it's one of the most famous lines in Scripture. I'm a little biased in this thinking, in that I'm from Kansas. And I went to the University of Kansas, and although last night I admit I cheered very hard for the Baylor Bears that they would beat the K-State Wildcats, but I am from the University of Kansas, and if, believe it or not, our school seal, the official seal of the University of Kansas, has Moses in front of the burning bush right on it. And this is it, humbly admitting, atheist, secularist, KU, there's Moses in the burning bush on the official seal of the University of Kansas. And around the outside of that seal, it says, Videbo visionem hac magnum, quare non comparatur rubus. I will see this great vision, why the bush is not burned. Now, at KU, they think that somehow Moses has this kind of curiosity that's like learning. He wants to learn things. Okay, kind of, fair enough. But Moses doesn't just want to go up a mountain to learn stuff as if you would look at it in a textbook at a university. Moses goes up the mountain and he encounters not a something, but a somebody. Moses comes face to face with God in some mystical, mysterious way. That too is what I hope and pray will happen for us over the next couple days. We're going to learn some stuff. I love teaching and I'm going to teach you some things. But more than anything, I hope that the Holy Spirit, who is often depicted as fire, will be like that bush that allow us to encounter God in some new way. No matter where we're at right now, if we're willing to do the work to go up the mountain over the next couple days, to give up our time, to come to the mission, we're going to encounter God. And the good news about that bush, notice that it's on fire, but it's not consumed. That's how it is when we meet God. We're on fire. But we will never exhaust what God is all about. We will never be able to say, now I've learned it all. I don't need to go to any more parish missions because I figured it out. We'll never get there. In fact, the more that we find God, the more we burn and we want God, and we get hotter and hotter. That's another thing that I hope happens on this mission. Now, our second reading is also about Moses, but St. Paul tells us that Moses is meant to be a warning for us. And he tells us kind of the dark side of the whole Moses experience. because it's not all happy burning bushes. Eventually, Moses fulfills his mission. He leads the Israelites out from slavery in Egypt, and God works these huge miracles to free his people. But notice Paul warns us, don't grumble like the Israelites did under Moses. What's this grumbling part? Well, if you remember the rest of the story, of course, after there's this huge exodus, most number of extras ever used in a movie at that time, to leave Egypt. They're praising God. Praise you, God. You have brought us safely through the Passover, and now we're free. Thank you, God. Thank you for Moses. But then they get to the Red Sea, and here comes Pharaoh. This is his chariots and his charioteers, and all of a sudden, they grumble. Oh, would that we had died in Egypt. We want to go back to Egypt. At least we could have died in peace there and cursed God and cursed Moses. And God comes down and works the greatest special effect in movie history and parts the Red Sea. And they go through the Red Sea. And safely on the other side, they say, oh, thank you, God. We will never doubt you again. You are wonderful. Thank you for Moses. Oh, that's great. But then it doesn't take long. And they're like, wow, that was a lot of work going through the Red Sea. We're hungry. Hey, we're in the desert. There's no food. We're all going to die. Oh, would that we were back in Egypt. Curse God and curse Moses. And, of course, God has to come down and say, hey, me, God, still here. Here you go. Here's some bread from heaven, some manna. Look, little birds. They come. The quail land. You can eat them. Fried chicken. There, be happy. And once again, everybody's like, oh, great, God. You are so awesome. Thank you, God. Thank you, Moses. We will never doubt you again. But then they finish their fried chicken, and they think, we're thirsty. Thirsty. We're in a desert. There's no water. Oh, curse God and curse Moses. Would that we were back in Egypt where we had water. And God says, hey, it's me. Still here. Moses, take your staff. Strike the rock. Water comes out. Whoosh. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Moses. You're so wonderful. And on and on and on like this. And you wonder, you know, God's thinking, do I have to do this again? How many times do I have to do this? The truth is, no matter how many times we encounter God, and we have amazing, even miraculous experiences, all of us, if we leave it for long enough, tend to become a little complacent. We start to forget what God has done for us and all the ways that he's helped us in the past. We grumble like the Israelites did. As soon as something goes wrong in life, what do? Well, you know, we start to grumble. You know, job loss, problems in our families, problems at work, problems economically, problems with our kids leaving the faith, problems with health. You name it, there are problems galore in the world. And what do we tend to do? We tend to get so focused on the problem that we do like the Israelites, and we totally forget God, who has always been there. It's another beautiful part of what I hope will happen at the mission. It's just a little time to set aside, to really refocus on what God has done for us, is doing, and will do for us. A chance to fertilize a little bit, to remember, to cultivate our soil. I hope, then, that you will come to the mission. Give a little bit of your time. You know, we give up all kinds of things for Lent. And those are good, mind you. I mean, I give up chocolate and I give up pop and things like that. And I love chocolate, so giving it up for Lent is kind of hard. But, you know, when Easter gets here, by the time the Easter Vigil is over, I am ready to slam like a dozen Russell Stover's cream eggs before you can even get to Easter Sunday. I give up all that chocolate for Lent, but when Easter comes, boom, hey, it's Easter. Game on with the cream eggs, you know? And I just go back to doing those things I gave up. And what if, instead of giving up something like that, what if you give up a little bit of your time over the next 2 days? Come to the mission. There's going to be a talk Monday morning and Monday evening, same talk. Tuesday morning, Tuesday evening, same talk. So you can come in the morning or the evening. It's going to be the same talk. You can come both if you want. Bring more friends with you in the evening if you liked it in the morning. Give a little bit of your time to God. Be willing to go up the mountain to cultivate the soil, fertilize a little bit. If you do that, I promise you, you will not regret the next 2 days. I promise I'm not going to bore you. I'll try to keep it a little bit exciting. Now, Monsignor says that I have to be a bit mysterious today and not divulge everything. so that you'll come. But here's a little taste. Tomorrow night and in the morning, I'm going to start by talking a little bit about the history of what is Lent. What is this season of preparation about? How did we get to this? What is baptism in our catechumens? What does that have to do with it? Leading into especially a talk on the sacrament of penance. A lot of people are scared to death of the sacrament of penance, don't understand it. I'm going to teach you a bunch of things you never thought of that you didn't know. By the time we're done, you're all going to want to go to confession. Now, don't go out and sin, just so you want to go to confession. But you're going to learn things you didn't know, and I bet you'll even want to go to confession by the time we're done. Second day, we're going to talk about the Eucharist. Two most important things we can think of. If I only get two talks, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the sacrament of penance and the sacrament of the Eucharist. Those are the two things, if we want to bear fruit, we've got to have those two. My thesis that I mentioned that I'm writing, my specialty is the liturgy. So I'm going to teach you about the Mass. I think it's so sad sometimes we sit out here, and you guys are good. You're coming probably every week because you're supposed to. I'm going to help you to get more out of the Mass, to understand parts of the Mass that you never even know. Why do we do that? I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to explain it in a way that hopefully Mass will be more fruitful for you. Those are some of my goals for the next couple days. But realize that the primary worker in this mission is going to be the Holy Spirit, that fire, that bush that is not burned. I hope that you will come over the next couple days. Bring your friends, and together we'll go up that mountain, encounter that bush, fertilize our tree a little bit. Because after all, we don't have forever. There is a deadline. Literally, we die one day, and there's no time left to bear fruit. Now is our opportunity. Now is the time to bear fruit.